Desensitized. What a title for a sermon. I've had at least one to ask me what that is. Unfortunately, they were way too far away to be able to come this evening, or they'd have been here, to find out what I might say about being desensitized. When you take a piece of metal that has been magnetized and you demagnetize it, it makes it no longer magnetic. And therefore, we need to understand that once we are desensitized, we are no longer sensitive to that which we were once sensitive. As a society, we have become desensitized. Webster defines the word as to make emotionally insensitive or callous, specifically to extinguish an emotional response to stimuli formerly induced it, or to stimuli that formerly induced it. In other words, that which once scared us no longer scares us. That which makes us once anxious no longer makes us anxious. That which makes us feel guilty in the past no longer now makes us feel guilty. Many Christians, especially the younger generation, are losing their souls because they've allowed the influence of the world to desensitize them from sinful action and influence. One need only to go down to the local store and look at the attire that people have on. They are no longer careful about how they dress, how they present themselves, how they present themselves before humanity. It's whatever is comfortable. Whether it's uncomfortable for somebody else or not, they could care less. And our young people and some of our older people are desensitized. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we see a warning about this. And it's just a warning in general. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And what I'm here to do tonight is to let us in on some of the devices of Satan and how he uses this activity of desensitizing people to cause them to serve him. We need to ask a number of different questions tonight. How do we become desensitized? And we need to ask ourselves, what is the consequences of being desensitized? Well, how do we become desensitized? There's a whole lot of different things that we might point out. One of the things that I do want to point out is that some don't completely bury the old man of the flesh. When we are coming to an understanding of the truth, we are coming to the understanding that we are in the world, that we are of the world, that the things that we do are the things which the world would have us do, and we are to come out of that. We are to bury the old man of the flesh. This comes about often as a result of not properly training and nurturing the new man in Christ. I've said it before and I'll say it again. One of the worst things that we can do to a new child of God or a new Christian is to set them on a pew and say, see if you can catch up. They end up getting left behind more often than not. And when they do, they become somewhat desensitized. The reason is because they have not been able to completely bury the old man of the flesh, perhaps. The teaching that we would provide for those who are babes in Christ would be beneficial to them so that they not be easily tripped up, so they not stumble on those things which are before them. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the brethren there, and he says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. In verse 2, he says, set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Look at verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And so when we die to sin, we are to completely bury the old man. In fact, we are told, according to the scripture, that when we rise from the watery grave of baptism, we do so to walk in newness of life. We should be very sensitive to things such as sin once we have identified what sin is. When Christians act like the old man, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19 tells us that he sealed us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says that he seals us. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, Ephesians 4 and verse 19 says, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. We cannot hang on to the world with one hand and onto the Lord with the other. Jesus himself said it best, you cannot serve two masters. And that's what some are doing. Some are doing it because they are desensitized. They don't know that it's wrong. And it's our responsibility to make sure that our brethren know the difference. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, this is what James was telling them. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We see here the old man versus the new man. When we decided to die to sin, we should have put the old man away. Some people might say, well, you're still the same person. Your flesh hasn't changed. Your DNA hasn't changed. Your fingerprints didn't change when you were baptized. But inside, you were cleansed, washed, and we were to be a new creature. In Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, the Apostle Paul nudges these people with the words that he sends. He says, and that knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. We need to grab some of our Christian brethren who are desensitized and give them a nudge. Remind them that such is wrong. He says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Previously we read that we are to set our affections on things above. We are to seek those things which are above. But if we are desensitized to that which is going on around us, how can we keep our focus on God? How can we keep our focus on serving the Lord? I have a machine on my television. I call it a cuss box. It's TV Guardian. I've talked about this item, this issue, this situation with several people, and I am really surprised at the people that don't know it exists. It's cheap. It works most of the time. And it keeps the filth that is on television. Even shows, when you're watching shows and the words that come out of people's mouth. And other people, when you say something to them about it, it says, it just don't mean what it used to. You know why? They're desensitized. Some try to see how close they can get to the edge. That's what some people do. How close to the edge can I get? How close to sin can I get before I am tainted? How long can I lay down with the dog before I get the fleas? Whichever way you want to describe it. Often those who get too close to the edge fall to their injury or to their death. In Stone Mountain, Georgia, if you've ever been there, there is a slope area where before a drop where a fence had to be erected because several wanted to see how close they get to the edge and not slip off. Oh, I can just see it. These two teenage boys up there, and they say, you know, I bet you I can get closer than you. Well, one of them had to go call the ambulance. The other one got a little too close, slipped and fell. They were not sensitive to the fact that once they got to the point you couldn't turn around and come back. We see examples in the Bible as well. Lot chose what he thought was the best. As you turn to Genesis chapter 13, we know what happened there. Abraham was there, or Abram as he was called at that point, and there were strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen, and he didn't want there to be strife between them. They were family. And so Lot was given the opportunity to choose, wasn't he? In Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceeding. Lot was a lot of like people today. He was like a lot of people today. He thought, you know what? It's not going to affect me. I'm strong enough. I can handle this. But eventually, he got desensitized. Oh, he still knew the difference in right and wrong. He didn't lose his mind. But how do we know he was desensitized? Consider, if you will, Lot's wife and his offspring. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, what the situation was there. It says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live godly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." It was all around him. And you say, well, he got out and his daughters got out. But ask yourself, where did the Moabites come from and where did the Ammonites come from? It was because of an incestuous relationship contrived by his very daughters. Where do you think they got that influence? Well, I suspect they got it at Sodom and Gomorrah. We are known by what we present outwardly, how we present ourselves to others. I started off talking about clothing. We might also consider the things that come out of our mouths. How do we present ourselves to others? In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, we see these words, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart." Read the rest of the chapter sometime. We'll see what happened. We may not be participating in those things. He didn't go looking for a harlot. But what is the impression that is given? When she dressed up like a harlot, what did he think she was? A harlot. There's an old saying, it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. A rose is a rose is a rose. And so we need to be very careful how we present ourselves. We need to be careful of the results of that. In James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we'll see the progression that leads to death. It says there, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And a lot of times people say, you know, I don't have lusts. Let me take your pulse. If you're human, you have desires. And it doesn't have to be desires like maybe some people think of, but desires to do evil. "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." And not one of us go through life without temptations. But if we allow that to work and fester within us, and continue to work, it brings about sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. As we need to be careful of being desensitized, we need to check our attitude. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we'll see those people who had the attitude that they knew enough. They did enough. They worshipped enough. They did it, whatever they wanted to do. But the Bible tells us the truth of the matter, what will happen, what is happening even this day. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. They won't have the truth. They're gone after that which makes them feel good. When they do so, they are desensitized. They don't care about sin. They just want to be made to feel good while they're here on the earth. Some often ignore the power that influence has on their lives. What do I mean by that? Every person has influence, and every person is affected by somebody else's influence. My dad used to say to me, "Birds of a feather flock together." I had no idea what he was talking about for years. Birds of the same nature will gather themselves together. Those that are alike will gather themselves together. Those gathered here tonight should be those of like precious faith, or those seeking the truth. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." What does that mean? We say evil communications, and we're not talking about just the words that come out of our mouths. We're talking about our lifestyle. It can corrupt us. We can be desensitized, and we don't think that it's causing any effect upon us. Eventually, it will. I like the way the writer of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 put it. He basically asked the question, "Can you play with fire and not get burned?" The King James reading says, "Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" Can you play with fire and not get burned? Oh, maybe for a little while. But you keep doing it, what's going to happen? You're going to get burned. We know respectable people who participate in certain things. So we're tempted into not keeping what is decent and right. Rather, we should follow after proper examples. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. We'll see a proper example that is set. We'll see that he set things up so that we would understand fully how we should walk. He said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself." Notice what they are being told there. The Philippian brethren are saying, "You have an example. Follow it." Well, now we say, "Well, Paul was just a man. Why should I follow him?" He said, "Be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ." The very instant that Paul stops following Christ, he should have been marked, identified, and people should not follow him even more. But he did follow Christ. He did serve God. And he provided an example for those who had not had the privilege of knowing the Christ. We should follow the instructions, as we find in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, as Paul passed on this inspired information. He said to them, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." I want you to consider the first song. It's only 6 verses. You ought to be able to quote it. But consider that which is found there. It tells us to walk not in a certain way, to stand not in a certain place, to sit not in a certain seat. What we need to understand is that the Word of God is to be the influence in our lives. "Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When we become desensitized, we are on the road to becoming ungodly. What did he just say here? But the way of the ungodly shall perish. None of us want to perish. What happens? We often allow ourselves to adjust instead of resist. You ever heard of the path of least resistance? Start water traveling down your yard. It will find the path of least resistance. That's why sometimes when you're messing around electricity, you'll get shocked, because electricity will find the path of least resistance, and people often do that. It seems that it's way too easy for some Christians to adjust to the moral environment instead of resisting it and becoming like the world. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul warns the Roman brethren about this. And you stop and look at it. Look at our society today. We have been barraged by teaching that is improper, to the point now that folks think that it's okay for two people of the same sex to be married, to the point that they're even taking it before the courts and says, what do the courts think? I don't care what the courts think in a situation like that, because God has spoken. And you know what the problem is? There's not enough people willing to resist. So many people want to take the path of least resistance. Paul told the brethren in Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When our parents asked us the question, if everybody else jumps off of a cliff, are you going to do it? We thought, well, that's the craziest thing in the world. But what were they saying? You're conforming yourself to the world. Just because everybody else does not make it right. We desperately need to develop the godly attitude found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, that hates that which is evil, that clings to and holds to that which is good. He said to them there, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Hang on to that which is proper. It is time for us to prove our faith by taking a stand, no longer trying to live conformed to the world, but allowing our life and our will to be transformed into the will and into the likeness of Christ. Often people become desensitized because they sometimes deceive themselves into thinking that God will be indifferent. I've heard people say, you know, God's a loving God. I will never question that statement. The Bible tells us he sent his beloved son because he loved us. But nowhere in the Bible do we find that God's going to be indifferent. We can think we're okay. We can think we have time to change. But as you turn to Amos chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, I want to submit to you today that one day the party will be over. As they say, it'll all be over but the crying and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, the pain and the suffering. Look at the example that we have regarding Israel. Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Oftentimes, only the third verse is used. But what was being asked there? Could they walk with God when they were not in agreement with God? No. Why were they not in agreement with God? Because they were desensitized. We delude ourselves by thinking that God will forgive all when we stand before Him and we've not made preparation per His instructions. Don't be so foolish. Jesus told us about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. As you're there in Amos in chapter 3, let's remain there. Let's look at verses 13 through 15. We'll see that Israel continually did this. And we'll see the results. God said to them, "Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgression of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord." Fast forward. One chapter. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. We see, "Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." If the fear of God doesn't lead to reforming our lives, all that's left for us is to go ahead and stand before God at the judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the brethren there, telling them of the eventuality, the fact that we will all stand before the judgment bar of God. He says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." Look at verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Notice, why? "That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciousness." What was he saying? That your life will determine where you spend eternity. And if you are so desensitized that you can't see sin in your life, look to the Word of God. It will point it out. But you have to be honest with yourself. You know, there's no variation with God. He brought us out of sin to become the first fruit of His creatures. How could we allow ourselves to become desensitized and ignore that? That's the question that James asked in chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, or the statement that he makes. He says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift, or every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Notice, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." We need to be aware of the warnings that are given. The warnings such as the one that is in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16. And you might say, "Preacher, how does that apply to me? That's under the old law. That was to God's people." The principle still exists today. The danger of becoming desensitized to immorality is that it keeps us from fully transforming us from the world. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16, "Take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." I'm sure every one of us have a friend who is in one of the denominations. I'm sure every one of us on occasion have had that friend to say to us, "Why don't you just come to church with me sometime?" And you say, "Well, I can't do that." Well, why not? Because there's only one church. Because we are to serve God as God has put forth. We're to worship God as God has put forth. And they don't understand. You know why they don't understand? Because they're desensitized. One of the biggest lies that Satan has ever said. He promotes churches. One of the biggest lies that Satan has ever told was that one church is good as another. But that's not so. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. Don't be desensitized. Don't be so that you can become entrapped, ensnared, deceived by sin into thinking you're all right. Because when we stand before the judgment bar of God, there will be no time to make the change. Take the opportunity tonight to become sensitive to sin. Sin should hurt. It should hurt us when we hear things that are wrong. It should hurt us when we hear the foul language that comes out of people's mouths and that's spewed across the airwaves. It should hurt us when we see the things that are so easily accessible on the internet or on the street where we walk down the street. It should hurt us because we ought to be sensitive to it. Don't become calloused. Don't become desensitized. There are many who do not obey the gospel because they are desensitized. They are desensitized to the point that they cannot or will not hear the gospel plan of salvation. But that's okay. We're going to give it one more time. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, we see that we are to hear. That passage reads, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well, thou art come." Notice the next part. "Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." In John 8:24, Jesus said that we had to believe. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, we see that we are to repent. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And we're to confess, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And finally, to be baptized. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Saul was told, "And now, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Of course, that's not where the journey ends. That's where it begins. We are then to remain faithful unto death. However, what is the case if we have become desensitized and we've allowed sin to ensnare us, to entrap us, to tie us up so that we can no longer faithfully serve God? God has provided. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, he said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." If you've never named the name of Christ, never become his child through obedience and being baptized as part of that obedience in the watery grave of baptism, coming forth to walk in newness of life, you need to do so. But if you are a child of God and you've allowed sin to come between you and God, repent now and pray. And if we can do anything to help you, we'll be glad to do so. I want everyone now at this time to take their songbooks, open them to the number that was called out, and if you need to respond, let us do so at this time.